Since I'm going on a small vacation for a few days here up in the mountains to go hiking and just enjoy the nature, I thought I'd share some creepy and allegedly true hiking stories sent in by viewers just like you. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another episode. Today we're going to be sharing some creepy and allegedly true hiking horror stories that'll keep you out of the woods this weekend. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a hiking story or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours that keep this show going. Now, without further ado, sit back, relax, and get ready for some creepy, allegedly true hiking horror stories. My brother-in-law just heard this story this past Christmas, and he has been telling my sister and I that we should share it somewhere. And what better place than the swamp? My family has some property that backs up to the Carson National Forest in New Mexico. It has been in the family for years, and my sister and I both spent our summers up there. It is gorgeous. Well, it is for people who lived out in far west Texas. It was nice and green, cool mountain air in the summer. It was always a relief to get up there and get away from a dusty ranch. My dad was ex-military, and having two daughters, let us just say we did lots of outdoor stuff. He taught us survival skills and how to defend ourselves. We hunted and fished and did lots of camping and hiking. To us, it was always a fun time, but I guess he felt the need to pass skills to us. We spent several weeks in the summer up there hiking with him and exploring the old cabins, mining communities, and checking out the big ditch project that was built for the Red River back in the late 1800s. I think that's the right date or something, but I am unsure. Anyways, it is a great place to hike with some beautiful high mountain lakes, streams, lots of wildlife, etc. This happened when I was in college, and my younger sister was still in high school. My dad was still at home, having to work, and would come up every few weeks to spend time with us. We were up there with our mom, and she mainly spent time in town or around the property painting. We spent our time on the jeep trails, or hiking, or sleeping. It was late June, maybe early July, and we had decided that we were going to hike up to the Lost Lake. It is one of my favorite lakes up there, because if you look at it from a certain angle, it looks like a heart. We set off in the morning, and we were prepared. We both had a small pack, our water, some snacks, and we both had a small hammock we planned to set up once we got to the lake, so we can enjoy the area for a while. I will admit to being an outdoor type, and I swear, when it's quiet enough, you can even hear the trees talking. We also always carry a knife when we hiked. My dad always insisted we have something, just in case an accident happened, or we just needed it. The hike was going well, since the summer cabin is far up the valley, we just set out on a foot to the trailhead. To get to Lost Lake, you take another trail that goes up to Middle Fork Lake. Then you break off that trail for Lost Lake. We run into a few other hikers, but they are going to Middle Fork Lake, and we were pleased because it would look like we would have the lake to ourselves. It is a good hike with some long switchbacks at the end, but totally worth it because the lake is just beautiful and an emerald green color. We finally arrived and saw that we did have the lake to ourselves. We hiked around the lake and decided to hike back a bit to find a good spot to set up our hammocks. We walked into the tree line and the first thing my sister did was say, "Do you smell that?" And indeed I did. It was a dead animal for sure, with the strong scent of blood. We had both done lots of hunting and we knew the smell pretty well. And that is when I saw it. It was a deer carcass. But what was around it is what disgusted me. Placed around the deer carcass in a circle were its organs, entrails, etc. But it was not like it was being cleaned. It was like they were placed there in certain arrangements, with just piles of rocks in between everything, like small little statues almost. Now I know how some people get disgusting with their kills. and I have had some guys try to gross me out, but I do not fall for crap like that. But this made me uneasy. It was just not being cleaned. It was like it was set up in a certain meaning, or maybe it had a meaning all its own. I stepped back from this weird circle, and when my sister starts to say my name, but stops, because then we see the guy who had done this, and he looks like he climbed out from inside the deer, because he is covered in blood and does not have much clothing on. At first, I thought he did not have anything on, but honestly, I did not try to check him out much. He was standing back away from his gruesome little circle, just standing close to a group of trees that were close together. He was maybe 20 feet or so from us. I think he was maybe trying to hide? Not for sure, but my dad had always taught us that if we ever found ourselves in a situation where we did not feel we were in control, to do everything in our power to take control of the situation. Do something that is going to take the other person by surprise. Do not do something they would expect you to do. So, this was raging through my brain, and I could also tell my sister was about to freak the heck out. So I stepped up and yelled, "Hey, fairly good kill you got there. Did you use a bow?" The guy just stood there, his eyes all crazy wide like he was stoked out of his brain on planet Pluto or something. So, I'm thinking, great, we ran into a guy getting his hunt on, and he had lost it, and now he's getting blood crazy with his deer. He was staring me down, and I was staring right back, and my sister was getting ready to run. I still don't know what came over me, but I then put my hand on my knife that I kept on my waist just to show him that I was not completely helpless. I do not know why I did it, but something told me to let him know I was not going to back down or be afraid. I kept eye contact with him, and I would guess he was maybe in his early 30s, but I am bad at guessing people's ages. He was pretty dirty though. You could tell that even with all the blood he had everywhere, he had not showered in quite some time. I start to back off and my sister had moved behind me, so I spoke again and said, "So, I hope you have a great hunting day." Again, the crazy guy didn't say a thing, just stood there like a statue or something, or like he thought I couldn't see him if he didn't move or make any sound. We moved back to the lakeside again and booked it around the lake. My sister stayed up front, and she was shaking bad. I was mainly angry at first because if he wanted to get all crazy in the woods with this deer, then he should have gone further back up into the forest. We get back to the trailhead and stop to get our bearing and looked at each other. I was scanning the forest line to make sure we were not being followed, and my sister was just in shock. We started down the trail pretty fast, and I was hoping I could keep my sister together until we could at least reach the Middle Fork Lake Trail, or that we would even run into some more hikers. But the odds were not good on this trail because you must get an early start on Lost Lake Trail, and by now it was late morning and early afternoon. We were making good time and had not discussed what we saw, just started hiking back down. I started to get that feeling when you just know you're not alone. I kept checking, but I did not see a single thing, or even hear anything at first. My sister refused to look back and just kept going, but I felt like I had to keep checking to make sure that idiot was not following us. That is when the first stuff came flying at us. It was like small pebbles, but it really made me angry because it was obvious somebody was throwing them at us, and it could have only been him. My sister was almost running at this point, but I am a mouthy smart aleck. I blame the Texas upbringing, and darn it, this was my forest. I had grown up here, and these were my lakes, my trails, and I was not about to let some crazy dude ruin it for me. I started yelling back that he needed to go back to his deer and leave us alone. At this point, my sister is telling me to shut up and just come on. And I am thinking, no way, this guy is just trying to scare us. The pebbles stopped, and then we started hearing barking and growling noises. My sister said, "Now he's growling at us?" And I just told her to get on down the trail and ignore it. He was behind us pretty much the whole way, growling and making these barking noises occasionally, but I never caught a glimpse of him. Once we got close enough to where the trail joined with the Middle Fork Trail, he seemed to back off. I never caught sight of him from behind us, but I could hear him, and I just knew he was there. We started down the rest of the trail, My sister refused to stop or look behind her, so I kept checking every so often. I did not see anything or hear anything. We started to discuss what had happened, and she felt like he was a very sinister and not good guy. She had felt like we had been in a very dangerous situation, and I felt like he was just getting kicks out of scaring two girls. I mean, he had to have heard us coming around the lake. We weren't being quiet. It was the opposite, because there are black bears up there and we would always be pretty loud while hiking. Hoping to scare off any bear in the area, really, so we wouldn't come up on one. To this day, she still thinks he was sinister, and I still think he was just trying to scare two girls and was getting his kicks out of it. We told our parents, and my dad did not like what he heard at all. He did teach us some more up-close defense skills after that day, and forbid us from ever hiking alone or just the two of us again. We did not hike up that trail for several years. Honestly, it freaked my sister out, and I just did not like remembering a time that I was scared in the forest. I didn't know it at the time, but after we had gotten back to the house and told my mom, she had called some neighbors and a few of the men hiked up there the next day to check things out. They did find the deer carcass and some empty hiking packs. They also found a rustic campsite further back in the woods that had been cleared out as well. They found some empty hiking packs as well that day hikers use. It's not that creepy, I guess, but pretty strange nonetheless. I am now a 72-year-old man. This happened long ago, but I remember it so well. The background was a series of events that placed me in a mountain cabin outside of Frederick, Maryland, circa 1969 or 1970. Just say my life at the time was in disarray. I had dropped out of college, my father had died, and I was alienated. I needed to get my mind right. The opportunity to move to an isolated cabin to live in contemplation and solitude was a welcomed idea. I had some inheritance money to pay for it. To the best of my memory, I was there 8 to 9 months. No TV, nothing but books and radio. I had a library card, and I cannot remember if I had a phone. The story begins when a month into my stay, a female beagle showed up to my door. She was a lost dog, and I took her in. I could never train her to do anything, but I fed her, and she was a sweet, if not the brightest dog. A few months in, I began to feel a presence around the isolated cabin. It was hard to describe, but I felt like someone was watching. On many occasions, I thought someone might even be looking into my cabin window, watching us. The next phase was the shadow, or the sense of following. I knew the folks a half mile down the lane, woods all around, and would sometimes visit them at night. Someone, something, was waiting for me and followed closely in the woods beside me in the darkness. Anytime I would hike, you could hear it, easily, footsteps in the woods, and it picked up its pace as I did. This not only happened to me, but my younger brother who visited, and to friends. It spooked them, big time. At night it was out there, around the cabin. Here's the funny thing. I was never afraid. I never felt threatened, if you will. Not at all, well, at least early on anyway. There was no feeling of malevolence. I spent a good bit of time wandering the vast areas of woodlands around me. There was a state park just up the hill, and the Frederick Municipal Forest went on for mile after mile. The whole of Western Maryland was much more country than it is now. None of the development had set in yet, so hiking was endless. In our hikes, the dog and I, we came across evidence of campsites, recent ones in the woods, traces of fires, old, abandoned buildings that had corners that gave shelter and looked like something was sleeping in it. Garbage, food, drinks, paper, what have you, we found it. Perhaps hunters, but much of it did not have the organized feeling you would get from experienced hunters. The last month of my stay there was when things intensified. Maybe he sensed I was preparing to leave. In the mornings, I would find small dead animals at the bottom of the front steps. The cabin had a small front porch, screened with a light door, and four wooden steps to the ground. A spotlight would illuminate the long front yard, with woods close by either side. Dead animals began to appear at the bottom of the steps many mornings. I remember small birds, then a squirrel, a rabbit, even a weasel one day. Like they were offerings in a sense. I had to grab them up before the dog ate them. This went on almost daily for several weeks. One night, extremely late, I was awoken by a strange sound. I lay in bed and heard something from the porch. I hopped up and hit the lights, and I saw that hound dog, who never learned to sit or stay, standing at the front door, in a perfect point position. She was shaking in fear. She never barked. I heard the door slam and footsteps down the steps. I hit the spotlight but saw nothing. I went out. He had been on the porch, my front door, maybe trying to enter. After that, I stayed in at night more and more. The animal offerings got bigger and bigger. Larger birds, a possum, a woodchuck. It was not funny. The two final, quote-unquote, gifts were legs from either horses or cows. Big and bloody. One was skinned. Holy crap. The second to last day, the dog left me. I could hear her in the woods howling on a trail following a scent. I looked for her everywhere I could, but I couldn't find her. In the following weeks, I came in search, but to no avail. She left as she came. I moved back to the Maryland suburbs of DC. I got an apartment with a friend, I got a job, and moved on with my life. One day, not long after I picked up the Washington Post, there was an article about recent encounters with the Sykesville monster. It described a tall, yeti-like creature, fur covered on two legs, that would pick out a family or a person and give them quote-unquote attention. I was not the only one. The attention described in the article was exactly what happened to me. It was following you at night, looking inside the house, giving you gifts, so to speak, and so on. I was shocked. If I had turned on the spotlight and seen a Bigfoot or a Yeti, I might still be running to this day. But I think I know who it was. Sykesville, Maryland was the location of the Springfield Hospital Center, a large state psychiatric hospital. It was 20 miles or so east of Frederick. Back then, many folks knew how to live in the woods. They grew up that way, country folks. I think the monster was an escaped patient, or just a free schizophrenic who lived outside. This is like all the homeless you see in cities now, probably off his meds, but somehow functional and lonely. He would pick people or families to, quote-unquote, adopt. The camps in the woods would have been him. Nothing to do, he would make mischief. I think he liked me, but sensed I was leaving. This happened back in 2009 or 2010. I was visiting Hawaii at the age of 14 with my family. My father, cousin, and I went hiking for the day. I believe we drove up to the top of Moana Key State Park. We then took a hike down to an old inactive volcano face and walked on it for 2 hours. The hike back up to the forested mountain was about an hour long. My father, cousin, and I were about halfway back to our car, and being the young teenager I was, I decided to race them back. I ran ahead, going off trail a bit, climbing back up. Then, suddenly, I was in a 20 by 20 fenced-in area on the top of the mountain. I was extremely confused because I had never climbed a fence. I stood in this fenced-in area trying to determine how it had gotten there, then realized something felt completely off. I then climbed back down the mountain, eventually found the trail, and went back to my car. My father and cousin were worried and said I was gone for around 3 hours, and they were searching the whole time. However, to me, it felt like I was only gone for about 30 to 40 minutes at max. A few years passed and I forgot about the situation. However, after listening to a recent podcast from the swamp, somebody mentioned missing 411 in one of their stories, and I recalled my experience. I recently spoke to my cousin and father, and they both recall the event the exact same as I do, and remember how scared I was, and how I kept mentioning how I ended up in a fenced-in area without climbing a fence. Does anyone have any similar experiences? particularly within Hawaii. Before I tell my story, some of you might not find it scary or funny as people I have told laughed. I do not care if you believe it, because this definitely happened. I feel as I could have lost my life. I live in the San Gabriel Valley, which is east of Los Angeles, just outside the city. I asked my friend, A, to go hiking with me. We planned to go hiking to South Mount Hawkins. The hike was a little long, maybe around 12 miles. I was up to the challenge and picked up an early start to get an early start. However, we got lost and ended up in the parking lot of what I believe was the Azusa River Wilderness. I parked and said, "F it, we're lost." I was a little upset, and my friend and I began to look over the trail map that they have on display to see if we could find the correct trail. It was about 7 a.m., and it was already very foggy. The parking lot was empty except for the cars of the nearby homes and a random van on the other side of the parking lot. I did not really focus on the van too much. I just wanted to get this hike started. Then I heard the van door open and my friend and I looked. A man stepped out and began jogging over to us. I thought nothing of it. He was probably lost like we were. But the weird thing is that he was not dressed for hiking. He had jeans and flannel on like he was going to a bar. As he got closer, I realized he was barefoot and was looking directly at me. I still tried to find some excuse that maybe he did not have time to put on his shoes or boots and just wanted to ask a quick question. How naive I was. When he approached me, he asked me a question that completely threw me off guard. "Why are you saying evil things about me?" I was beyond confused. I honestly did not know what to say and looked over at my friend who was just as confused. "I didn't say any evil things about you," I said. "Yes, you did. I heard every evil word you said about me." His tone was becoming more threatening. Again, I defended myself and said something like, "I didn't say anything evil. I don't even know who you are." Then things got tense. He got extremely close, and I mean so close where I could smell his breath. He then said, "Why would you say those evil things about me? Don't you know it's wrong to say evil things about people? You should be ashamed of yourself for that." Now, I am 5'7 and 175 pounds. I'm a pretty solid dude, but this guy was at least 6'2, so he towered over me. I also had no weapons whatsoever and did not even know what he had, so any attack would have happened quick. My eyes did not leave his, and as if they were deadlocked. So many thoughts and fears raced through my mind. I thought about my parents, my brother, my friends. Is this how I end? Then, I do not know what made me say it, but I told him that I was sorry for saying those evil things. What happened next was weird. He looked at me, confused about what I had said, looked around and then ran back into his van. I stood there frozen, but I was finally able to breathe. A and I decided just to hike to the nearby trail to blow off steam. I had a mix of fear, anger, anxiety, and confusion as to what had just happened. I figured he was either on drugs or was probably a schizophrenic. When we got back, his van was still there, but the parking lot was filled with families. I did not say anything to them, even if I should have warned them. I asked my friend A, "You're a Marine. If he had done something, you would have jumped in, right?" He shook his head. "Dude, he was legit inches from you. Even if he pulled out a knife, you would have been stabbed and probably would have died." I'm grateful I found a way to de-escalate the situation. This serves as a reminder that you should always trust your red flag instincts when encountering strangers. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true hiking horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a hiking story or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that truly help keep this show going on a daily basis. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button, as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it in the algorithm, and that's very beneficial to the swamp. If you're new here, be sure to subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you're on the go and you still want to listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories, you can download them absolutely free from iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you download your favorite podcast online. And like I said, it's absolutely free. If you would like to support the channel outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out the merch store. I've got t-shirts, face masks, hoodies, mugs, and more. We also have an exclusive Swamp Dweller Christmas design that'll only be sold until New Year's, so be sure to grab one before they're gone forever. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this on a daily basis without you guys. I'd love to know, down in the comments down below, what your scariest experience is while hiking. Personally, I think the scariest thing that's ever happened to me was that I think I might have saw a werewolf. I've explained this on a video before, but I was hiking through the woods with my friend, trying to make a little fort, and suddenly we look up and we see what looks like an emaciated dog-like creature standing on two legs, just staring at us. It honestly wasn't the scariest thing, and it's not like it chased us or anything, but we were so scared that we ran down out of those woods as quickly as we could. And to this day, I've never visited those woods ever again.